Well, good morning. It's a good morning, isn't it? I have really been enjoying this weather, I tell you. I've been out in my garden. Who likes gardening? I thought I'd get a few waves there. I've been building a lovely new retaining wall. In the garden at the back of the property was a sort of a concrete, rickety, stony, falling apart retaining wall. So I've put a really nice retaining wall with nice sleepers, but it was backbreaking getting those sleepers in. They're quite heavy. Anyway, I did okay. Well, thank you everyone who's already helped this morning, but particularly Colin, thank you for that reading. The talk this morning, I've got a tagline. And the tagline this morning is, I never knew that life with Jesus would be this good. So as I speak, as I communicate this message, just remember the energy that this passage brings. Alive in Christ is the title. Can everyone hear me? Or do I need to speak up? I have a soft Antipodean voice, don't I? So I need to project it. My approach this morning is to go through a exegesis. So I'm simply going to go through the passage. That's why I particularly made an effort to have the scripture there. And if you wanted to make notes, that was good. The Apostle Paul, let me give you some context to this text. He's actually writing this letter to the Ephesus church under house arrest. And it's about AD 60, 62 that this is taking place. And it's called actually part of the prison letters. So Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians are called the prison letters, because that is the context in which Paul writes this letter to the various churches. And I was struck, as I read this passage, I was struck by his circumstances. What was personally going on for Paul at this time? How was he so full of faith? How was he so full of faith? How was he so full of the Holy Spirit in spite of his circumstances? In chapter 6 of Ephesians, so not what we're reading. In verse 19, it says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So some of the thoughts I initially had as I read this passage were, how much time do we spend personally, making our own circumstances right for us? We're often, I'm preaching to myself here, we're often more worried about what other people think than what God wants to do in us and through us. Janet did a great sermon on chapter 1, and Paul summed it up brilliantly as well. But Janet focused on praise in chapter 1 of Ephesians. And Paul, our vicar, communicates in chapter 1 that the Christian gospel in chapter 1 is like layers of theological imagery to demonstrate our salvation, that it's wholly God's initiative. It's not ours. All Christians are blessed, chosen, predestined, and adopted and sealed by the Holy Spirit. We now move to the passage that I'm leading and reading from today. We're going to look at verses 1 to 3. Let me just read it. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were all by nature deserving of wrath. This reminded me of the Garden of Eden. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh. I just thought Adam and Eve and the forbidden fruit. Now the serpent, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will surely die. The serpent, you will not surely die. You will not certainly die, excuse me. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Isn't the enemy cunning and subtle? He gives you the impression you don't need God, that you can be God of your own life. But it's just a lie. If we haven't encountered Jesus and acknowledge what he's done for us on the cross, we are following and being ruled by another force that isn't God. It's the enemy. Verse 2, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Francis Folk's commentary on Ephesians, he lists the spirit, the enemy, excuse me, in three different ways. The enemy has power in the world, the enemy has power in the spiritual realm, and the enemy is active in human lives. So what are we surrendered to? The workings of God in your life or the enemy? Remember, the enemy's focus is to kill, steal, and destroy. So if you're making a note, I just want you to write this down. Know the enemy's schemes. Remember the enemy's schemes. 2 years ago, I remember speaking to a good friend of mine who had recently become a Christian. And he was telling me his motives before he became a Christian. And he was arrogant. He was selfish. He was driven to earn as much as he could. And he was successful. Then he became a Christian and suddenly he was transformed. He no longer desired selfish ambition in that way, and he wanted to declare God's truth and what he'd done in his life. And what was most intriguing and striking was his friends started to notice something had changed in him. And they said, wow, something's changed in you. And he was able to share how his motives have changed because he had surrendered his life to the Lord. I wonder what it's like for you as I've shared this first opening section. Maybe you're on a journey of faith. Maybe you haven't made that decision. I welcome you to keep exploring that. Feel free to speak to me at the end. I'd love to encourage you. Or if you want to challenge me, please, I'd love that as well. Someone on Sunday challenged me, and it was a healthy conversation. Or you may be of walking with the Lord for a long time. remember the enemy's schemes. Verses 4 and 5. But because of this great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. This is a picture of our salvation. And I was reminded of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Or what about in Romans 6, verse 11 to 14? Another passage of scripture from Paul. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer yourselves to God and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Grace! It's by grace you have been saved. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he died on the cross and rose again the third day. That he ascended into heaven. On the 9th of May, we celebrate it. We're in Eastertide. I was also reminded of the power of water baptism. I had the privilege of dunking Andrew at our 10 gathering some weeks ago. And that process of going down into the water and bringing him back up in full immersion from death to life, being born again. None of this would be possible if it wasn't for God's great love and mercy and grace that he has towards us. I'm a father. I have two young children. One is 2, Samuel, and my daughter's almost 4 on Saturday. She's celebrating with you, Margaret. 11th of May, how exciting. I'm sure you'll have a bouncy castle at your party. I went upstairs at one time. They were sleeping, they were having a nap, and I went to wake them. I opened the door, and one of them had been sick. Really sick. Vomit all down the front, all over the cot, all up the wall. It was revolting. You can picture it, can't you? What would you do as a father? Well, I'll tell you what I didn't do. I didn't shut the door and say as I left, clean up after yourself. I'll come back when you're all sorted, when you've cleaned yourself up from your mess. Our Heavenly Father doesn't do that to us. He doesn't speak over you, sort your anger out, sort out your arrogance, your bad attitude, and I'll have a relationship with you after. That is not how grace works. Grace works straight away in the situation that you are in the life that you have right now. The encounter happens in that way. Either before you've made a decision to Christ, there's common grace, or after, there is saving grace. The grace is abundant. So hold on to that picture. God meets you, no matter what the mess is in your life. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. So if you're making a note, remember, God made a way even when we were dead in our transgressions. Verses 6 and 7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. In Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. These verses open up the spiritual realm, don't they? Stating that Christ raised us up. It's almost like if God could gloat, he would be like, look what I can do. Our eternal life with Christ is certain because we are united in his powerful victory. This just fills me with confidence. That's the note I want you to write down. This fills me with confidence as we read this. I know we're not immune to discouragement. In Ephesians chapter 1, so not where we are, in verse 19 it says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms. May you be filled with confidence. I feel like the next verse is building to a crescendo. Verses 8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. I'm going to repeat that was shocking. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Have you ever got to a destination? You finally got somewhere. You were hoping to get there, and things came up, and there's always stuff in life, isn't there? But you get to this destination, and you think, wow, I didn't know it was going to be this good. I would have come earlier. I would have made more of an effort. I love speaking to new Christians. There's a zeal and an energy. And they often say, I didn't know life with Jesus was going to be this good. How often do we spend time putting off either that decision in our lives or becoming connected back to Christ? Maybe you've been following the Lord for a while, as I said earlier, but you've lost your zeal. You're backsliding. I'm reading through Jeremiah at the moment. Chapter 3, verse 22 says, return, faithless people. I will cure your backsliding. Next verse, yes, Lord, we will come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Maybe that's you, and today you are thinking, I'd love to get my life right with the Lord. I desire it. Well, I'd love to create space for that. Lastly, in verses 9 to 10, not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul, our vicar, writes in the sermon notes, we can't earn our salvation through doing. We can only do it through trusting in him, believing in him. I tell you, the staff team prays every day in the morning. And sometimes, I'm sure you can relate, sometimes I don't know. I don't know what to pray at times. Sometimes life is challenging. And I've, on numerous occasions, people will have heard me say, Lord, I don't know, but I choose to believe. I choose to believe in you in spite of my circumstances. Our salvation is a gift from God. We simply need to believe and have faith. N.T. Wright, Tom Wright. This is his commentary in Ephesians. Faith is not something that humans do to make themselves acceptable to God. Nothing we can do unaided can achieve that. If there were such a thing, it would become a matter of our own initiative. And the people who have this ability would be able to hold their heads up in pride over those who didn't. It's available to all. So our salvation is a gift. We just need to believe. Let me recap today as I close. Remember at the beginning, know the enemy's schemes. This is so important. This is so important. How often I think of my mindset at times, I think, oh, the enemy is just having a go at me right now. In whatever situation, I've gone off course. God made a way even in our transgressions. Grace. This just fills me with confidence. I didn't know life with Jesus would be this good. Our salvation is a gift from God. We just need to believe. Let me leave you with a question. And let's maybe have a time of stillness as I give this. Feel free to bow your head or just be quiet in yourself. And I just ask this question and allow time for the Holy Spirit to come. Lord, come to us this week and show us what we can do to draw closer to you. Show me how I can draw closer to you. What can I do? Thank you for listening. Amen.